I want to talk today about a particular word. We, through this whole series, even all the way back to kind of the guts of counseling, what's our problem? It's a heart problem. What's the problem in the heart? It's sin in the heart. Even though God has redeemed the heart and purchased it, there's still sin left, and sin produces desires. Those desires are ungodly desires. I yield to those desires. God also, by the way, by his Spirit in the redeemed heart, is producing desires. And he says that his desires are fighting against, essentially, the desires of the flesh. And so, and we're yielding ourselves, you know, one way or the other. And suffering the consequences one way or the other. Right? And bearing the fruits of righteousness or bearing the fruits of our sin. And as it relates to relationship, what we talked about way back then was that our help and our hope is that God grants to us a gift, and the gift is a change of mind and a change of heart, and that change of mind and heart is called repentance. And what we said back then was that repentance is not something that happens, you know, in order to get saved. Repentance is something that God grants to the ones he saves so that they can see him, so that they can change their heart and mind, so that they can walk in fellowship with him, so that they can walk in fellowship with each other. So then repentance literally is kind of this ongoing process in the Christian life, as forgiveness is, as we've seen, and as other things are. Well, there's this other thing I'm going to talk to you about tonight that is also part and parcel of the Christian experience, and it's an ongoing struggle on the one hand, and ministry of Jesus on the other hand, and If I were to pick something that would defuse every relationship bomb, it's this characteristic, and that is humility. I picked two passages to read, and what I think I'm going to do is just read through them. I may gently unpack them as we go, but I'm essentially just going to be reading through them and then making some comments about it at the end. But really, the Lord does the work, and Paul in the one hand, I mean, James in the one hand, Peter in the other hand, have written by the Spirit, and they've really already covered the material. And so, but it's a big deal. So, maybe I'll say this up front. That is, if humility is the antidote, what's the problem? Yes, thank you. I was fixing to say, I'll wait, class. I know there's school teachers in here. Okay. So, yeah, if humility is the antidote, then pride's the problem, right? And if pride's the problem, and really I don't want to like, you know, I don't know what your particular way of thinking about pride is, but pride ultimately is me focused on me. Pride ultimately is me believing that I'm the center of the universe and that I'm organizing the entire universe to help me solve my problems, meet my needs, do things, you know, take care of me, if you will. And so, I don't know, you know, one of our favorite verses is John 3:30, and this is John the Baptist, right? And he's this big preacher that everybody thought might be Jesus, might be the Messiah, not Jesus, but might be the Messiah. And he said, no, I'm not worthy to tie the Messiah's shoes. Let me just help you. And then when Messiah shows up and John tells everybody, behold, this is the Lamb of God. This is the guy. This is the guy who I was setting up, if you will. And then what happens is John keeps doing ministry. Messiah's doing ministry with his people. And there's this little tension that happens And John says, let me just tell you something. He must increase, I must decrease. That's how this works. And ultimately, that's humility. That's really what it means. It really means that I have organized my life to where my hope, my belief, my trust, and the way I act out my relationships are in where God is to be glorified first. And then everything that flows out of that is a function of God being glorified. So, and we'll unpack, you know, kind of that as we go along. Now, let me say something else about this passage, both the passages that we're going to go in tonight. Some of you who are old hats around here may say, Lord, he has wore that passage out. And so, fair enough, I have worn this passage out. I also know that that we, as believers, must be reminded of the gospel. We must be reminded of these things. And also, if you're walking with your friends, and let's say that you're in the exercise room with all the gals, and Angel does the push thing. I used to do that, by the way. I used to be very, very, you know, very good at it, actually. And not really. I'm just joking. But anyways, I used to do it. And but you know, if we're all doing our little exercise class, and everybody's chit chatting about relationships, I guarantee that our quarrels and fights come up. If you're taking your girlfriend to coffee, I guarantee that quarrels and fights come up. Everything that you're actually trying to work through when you're talking to your buddies, you're in the faith, is some version of a quarrel or a fight, some struggle that you're trying to work through. Maybe it's a coworker. It might be one of your employees. It might be a friend at school. It might be, you know, your parents. It might be your kids. It might be your spouse. It might be whatever. But we're always, if we're in relationship, well, let me give you an example. So right now, two sinners live in my house. It's me and Jack. But, you know, we moved in two other sinners one time. That was Julie and Anthony, and then they had two sinners born to them, so there were six sinners in the house. And then they left, there was back to two sinners in the house, and then Jake and Chelsea moved in, there's five more sinners in the house, so there were seven total, and then they moved out, now they're back to two sinners in the house. You get my point, right? If there's sinners in the house, we're going to be struggling. We're going to be wrestling, and what we think it is we think we're going to be wrestling against flesh and blood. That's what we think. But what does the Bible say? We do not wrestle against flesh and blood. So what's really happening is we're having a spiritual problem with God, and it just so happens that the person across from me is manifesting it. Does that make sense? Is exposing my heart and exposing my heart problems before God. Well, that's why I love this passage, because it really shows you that big time. So let's read it together. And of course, James asks the great question, right? What is it that causes quarrels, and what is it that causes fights among you? In case you're wondering, notice what he didn't say. He didn't say, well, it's your spouse, of course. You know. Well, it's that sorry boss you have, of course. Well, it's my sorry employees, of course. Well, it's my mother-in-law, of course. You know, well, it's, you know, whatever, right? He doesn't say that at all. What is it that causes quarrels and fights among you? The among you's me and my one of those people. He says, is it not this? Is it not that your desires are at war within you? Your desires. Something's going on that you wanted that you didn't get, and that starts a fight. Something's going on that you wanted that you didn't get, and that starts a fight. So, next, I'll give you an example of this before we go to the next verse. After October 31st, it's Christmas at my house. I have no clue why we wait till October 31st. We really should have started in June. So, on November 1st, a tree's supposed to come down out of the attic. That's just how it goes. And we're not one of them people that goes out and cuts them. We're from out west, so cut us some slack. So, you know, a tree's supposed to come down, and, you know, I was running off to Cincinnati this weekend. I had a conference up there, and so Jack's like, well, you know, the tree ain't down yet. And it got a little hint on Wednesday. We were leaving on Thursday. You know, you could probably get it down tonight if you wanted to. And, you know, so I come home, you know, and it's Saturday and Sunday's today, you know, and it's like my daughter-in-law comes over, and I promise you they collude against me, those two. And she does her Christmas stuff for, you know, November 1st too. And so, you know, she goes up in the attic and starts bringing like the little stuff down to give me a hint. And so all of a sudden I feel rising up inside of me this desire. And what is the desire that I have? It's not that we're going to celebrate the whatever. Honey, I just got home. How many men have said this? And I just want to relax for just a few minutes. Well, of course, I've been saying that for a week, so, you know. So anyways, well, what was my desire? My desire was is that I wanted me to be whatever, left alone or something like that, you know what I mean? And so love didn't take over, right? I mean, well, maybe it did because I just went up and did it. Maybe I just wanted to quit having to think about it. And I hope it was love that took over because I really am, you know, like this whole stuff that she does. And so, but, you know, what happened, what I'm trying to identify was that it was not Jackie. She just said something that was normal. I knew that was coming October 31st. Okay, November 1st, get the stuff down, you know? And so, okay, good deal. And she can't get it down, by the way, in case you're saying, oh, yeah, she's going to tell her to get it down. No, it ain't how it works at my house. I do the, see that? Okay. So, all right, so here's the deal. Well, so what is it, if that became a quarrel, and it didn't, by the way, I'm just talking about within me, right? What causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? It's this. It's that I have passions and I have desires. I have longings and they're within me. And if you cross them and I have to actually serve you instead of get what I want, you're going to pay. And I may not be mean to you, but we're at least going to fight about it. That's what it's saying. Next, this is helping somebody out there. Definitely has helped me. That's why I wear this passage out. You desire, right? And you don't have, so you murder. And remember, we've talked about this. What's he talking about there? What do you mean murder? Well, what does Jesus say? That murder begins where? Yeah, in the heart. And it begins way before you actually kill somebody. But you begin killing your relationship with all your fights. And what you're and the way you're killing your relationship is you're telling your wife that my desires are the priority of our family. You fix your life around me. You take care of me. That's how this goes. Right? And so guess what? That'll kill your relationship, in case you don't know. You covet, which means desire, it's just another way to do it, and can't obtain it. So you fight and you quarrel. And you don't have because you don't ask. Now remember, a lot of people, you talk about this about prayer. This actually text is not about prayer. This is about fighting with people. You don't have because you don't ask. And when you ask, you don't receive because you ask it wrongly to spend it on your desires. So in other words, you're selfish. and you're trying to get the world to organize itself around your selfishness. And sometimes the world just don't want to play. And so you don't get what you're asking for. And by the way, when you don't, you do what? You fight. You have quarrels. And then God orients it in an interesting way. He begins to talk about the spiritual problem. Listen to this. He says, you're adulterous people. What in the world is he talking about, you're adulterous people? You're stepping out on God. That's what adultery means, right? I mean, y'all call adultery stepping out on your spouse? Is that Southern, you know, colloquialism? And so you're stepping out on God. And then he says this. Now, he's going to unpack it for you, so stay with him. Don't you know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Now, what is he saying there? And whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. What's he saying there? What he's saying is this. Here's my deal. What I gave you in relationships was love. It was agape love. It was self-sacrificial love. It was that you're sacrificing your desires for the desires of the other. It's that you have decided already up front that I'm living in the service of the other person, not the other way around. And what happens is, and that's the relationship I've had with you. I've had this relationship with you where I've lived in the service of you. Jesus did not come to be served, but to give his life a ransom for many, right? Whoever is exalted must be humbled, right? I mean, Jesus talked a ton and ton about this. And so what happens is he says, okay, here's the deal. What you've done is you've actually gone straight against the very character of God. And what you've done is you've also put yourself in a relationship with the other person that says that the way that you get love from me is you work for it and you earn it and you essentially come into an adulterous relationship. Now, remember Matthew 18. So in Matthew 18, there's this guy who's been forgiven this debt that he couldn't pay, remember? And remember, he turns on his buddy, and he there's a small debt that his buddy owes him, and he throws the guy in prison, right? What does Jesus say? Jesus says, no, you're the one that's going to be thrown in prison. You know why? Because I forgave you a debt you couldn't pay, and you didn't have mercy on that guy, right? And forgive him his debt. Well, in the same way, in this way, God's saying this. What are you talking about? I'm the one who meets your needs according to my riches and glory. I'm the one who's married to you. I'm the one who's going to take care of you. But you're trying to get a human to do it, and you're fighting with the human because they won't meet the needs that I promised to meet. Somebody say amen. Okay, listen to what he says next. Or do you suppose that it's to no purpose that the scripture said he yearns jealously over the spirit he has made to dwell in us? That's what he's saying. You see what he's saying? God is jealous to take his rightful place in your heart. And if you have desires, what does God say? Make your request be made known before God. Don't be anxious about anything. Make your request be made known before God. That's what he says. And then what did he say? The peace of God which right? The peace of God. So now I've got peace because I'm not looking for Jackie to meet my needs and she's not looking for me to meet her needs. We're looking to God to meet our needs together. We're looking to God. And I'm not stepping out on God trying to get Jackie in an adulterous relationship with me spiritually to meet a need that God promised that he would meet by his grace, by his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Everybody get it? Okay, and that's exactly what we're constantly doing. We're demanding that our husband or wife, our boss, our coworker, our friend, the world, meet our needs. And we're stepping out on God when we do it. So here's what he says. He says, okay, yeah, when you're in that trouble, go back one verse. When you're in that trouble, therefore it says, oh, man, I wanted that on a separate slide because that was kind of like a home run stroke right there. Okay, read the last line there. Therefore, it says, God opposes, but he... All right, I just want you to stop there, and I want you to realize the pregnancy of that verse, that phrase. And it says, therefore, he says, meaning that he's quoting something that's already he's already said in the Old Testament. God opposes the proud. Opposes the proud. Let me break it down to you in relationship. So, I'm trying to get Jack to meet my needs, so I'm fussing with her because she's hasn't treated me. She didn't go get my second cup of coffee. And so I'm fussing at her. I mean, come on, you saw my coffee was empty. You seriously didn't go fill it up? And she's like, you know, you can go. And I'm like, yeah, what kind of wife did I marry? And blah, blah, blah. And so... In case anybody wants to shoot me for saying all that, that doesn't happen in our home, by the way, because I couldn't think of a very good analogy. So here's the deal. So I'm proud, right? Now, here's the deal. Listen to the verse. What's God's relationship to this conversation right now? Yep. The God of the universe right now is in opposition to me. Yep, that's it. You want the God of the universe to help you have a great marriage? Well, Bible says he gives grace to the humble. So that'd be the starting place, right? So God's not going to reward, if you will, let me say it this way, God is not going to reward me stepping out on him. How about that? Oh, you want to go ahead and try to get the world to meet your need, Bobby? You want to go ahead and love the world and try to get it to meet your needs? Knock your bad self out, saith the Lord. Right? He resists me. He resists me. You go ahead. You go ahead. But listen to this. You come to me with your needs. You cast your cares on me. And I'll care for you. You want to go ahead and organize the world and try to get it to be safe and fix you and take care of you and all this kind of stuff? You knock yourself out. Okay, so it says, so then what's the solution? Well, submit yourselves therefore to God and resist the devil. You see how he brings the devil in? In case you were wondering, that all this fighting is, I'm not going to overstate this, but of the devil. Let's say it that way. Of the devil. It's his game. It's his game to get me to try to meet my own needs. Well, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. And draw near to God. We saw that in the opening segment that we played. Draw near to God, and he'll draw near to you. Draw near to God. Cleanse your hand. Remember, this is talking about believers. He's talking to believers. He's talking to us who have problems because we're not relying on the Lord. We're relying on our mate, and that's why, or somebody else, our boss or our coworker or somebody, and that's why we're having problems, and that's why we're quarreling, and that's why we're fighting. And he says this, he said, cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts. You're double-minded. What does that mean? I want to ask God on one hand and then try to get my needs met somewhere else on the other hand. That's double-minded. He said, knock that off. You know, grieve about that. Be wretched and mourn and weep and let your laughter be torn into mourning and your joy into gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord and he will exalt you. If God resists the proud and he gives grace to the humble, then humble yourself, right? That's pretty easy. And what does that mean ultimately? It means, Lord, listen. Here's what it looks like. Lord, let me tell you this. my relationship with you is more important than me getting my needs met from somebody else. Let's say it's my wife in this case. Let me just use her this as an as a marriage as the analogy. And my relationship with her is more important than me picking on her to get my needs met. And my relationship with us, that is creating an intimate marriage that will glorify you, is more important. And so I'll humble myself and I'll trust you to meet my needs. And you do that however you want to. And I'll quit fighting with my wife about it. And I'll yield myself to you. And I'll trust you and quit stepping out on you when you promise to meet my needs. And I'll take my needs to you. And I'll create an intimacy with my wife. And I'll love her and I'll serve her instead of trying to get her to serve me. That's the key in relationship, by the way. In any relationship, friendship relationship, any relationship. Quit using people. Serve them. I don't have time to do the other passage. Okay, I'm done. All right, you got it? Humble yourself. Humble yourself. Listen, this is a spiritual issue. I promise you this. That if you look to God, think about this. Think about this. So you're just got upset. Okay, here's practical tips for you. For those of you who take notes. Go back and listen to this and write this down. Here's the practical tip. I just got upset. What did I want that I didn't get? What did I want? Can I trust the Lord to give it to me? Right? Can I trust the Lord to give it to me? Can I love and serve the person who I wanted it from that I was fixing to fight about? Right? And can I believe that my relationship with them is more important than the fight I'm fixing to have with them? Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We stand related to you, blowing it day by day. You're patient, you're long-suffering, you reach out to us, you extend your hand to us. You were the humble one. You humbled yourself and became obedient even to death of the cross. You were the one who told us to have that same mind in us. You were the one who told us to serve one another instead of getting service from one another. And you were the one that told us to live in humility. And then you come in with these strong passages here in James and in Peter and say, I resist you if you're not going to be humble. The people I help, the people I give grace to are the humble people. And Lord, we come to you proud people, constantly looking at somewhere other than you to get our needs met, and constantly wanting our desires to be met by humans instead of by you, and willing to risk our relationships, Lord, willing to murder our relationships in order to get somebody to serve me. Lord, we're sorry. Forgive us. Forgive us. Help us to walk in the light of Calvary and in the light of your forgiveness. In Christ's name, amen.